The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Next being with us, we will have Bob Herrig, senior writer with Sports Illustrated on golf. There is so much that is going on in that sport, and it's, I'd say, turmoil. And yeah, next week the WM is here, and most that are going out there don't even care about golf. They don't. They want to people watch, they want to get hammered, and bro dudes want to hang out together, and they want to get in on 16, and it's not really a golf tournament. That it is. I go out there, but I go strategic times because I do like to watch the action. So Bob Herrig will be with us. A shot clock in the PGA Tour because the play is so dang slow. We'll get into that with Bob, who's written a couple books with Tiger Woods and much more with Bob Herrig. Buster Olney today. Buster Olney with ESPN, their national writer. Buster knows all, tells all with spring training. I'm just in this mindset. I'm hearing it's supposed to be in the 80s next week. And pitchers and catchers do report. The Cubs report early, as do the Dodgers, because they are leaving here early. And they report next week. So I want to talk to Buster. I'm going to do the, you know, his favorite ballpark in the Cactus League. Does he like the Cactus League better than the Grapefruit Circuit? Buster's covered Major League Baseball for so long. Buster and I go all the way back to San Diego. San Diego, there was a beat writer on the prep scene named Buster Olney, and then he went to the Padres, and there was a guy named Pedro Gomez. Love Pedro. Buster and I go way back, so it'll be good to catch up with Buster. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. I, like you, are probably just distracted by the plane helicopter crash last night. I was sitting in here working on some things and got the alerts and all that, as I'm sure many of you did. My brother's son is a Black Hawk helicopter pilot in Washington, D.C. And I had to just scramble. And there was just that moment. I don't know if you've ever had that type of moment, but I had that moment last night, and he was not out last night, so that was a tough deal. So yeah, I've been distracted by that. I did see a little bit of the Suns game. Minnesota's got the Suns number. Is the Suns are currently constructed. And by the way, you know, the Suns are only 2.5 games out of first place in the Pacific, which it just tells you, if by now you are one of those that lives and breathes and, oh my gosh, the angst and the this and that. No, it's like they're going to make the postseason. They're going to make the postseason. And you just watch games this time of year, and until the rosters are set, like next week will be a benchmark. Next week will be a benchmark. Okay, their rosters are set. This is pretty much what it's going to look like. There's going to be those players that get bought out, like the buyout candidates that'll be floating around out there that magically will, about 2 weeks to go in the regular season, like, I'm not going to go bounce around and go to Detroit and Atlanta in February and March. If I sound like I'm negative on the NBA, it's the state of sports in general, like the professional side of sports in general, in particular with the NBA and the NFL, has a problem. Their regular seasons are becoming less and less interesting. In fact, you know, Adam Silver was on Dan Patrick's show yesterday, and he mentioned going 10-minute quarters. I don't know if that's going to help. Like, we're going to talk golf here in a minute about the pace of play. Here's why the pace of play is so slow. There's a lot of commercials. It costs a lot of money. And by the way, you're watching golf, and you're like, who are these guys? Same deal's going on in the NBA. Same deal goes on in the NFL in August, September, October. It's a deal. It's like, we're going to make money off these people, and we're going to put a product out there that we know isn't nearly as good as or compelling until we get into our postseasons. And even in the postseason, you'll see, like, how the heck did they lose by 50 last night? Because they're worn out. They're going back and forth now. They're in an every other day. Or you'll see, well, the Suns played on a Sunday, and they play again on Thursday. Why is that? Because the NBA wants their star power rested up. I don't know how you get around it. I mean, I really don't. And it's not that hard. Baseball, on the other hand, that's why I love baseball. Pretty true sport. Get out there and you watch it. You may say, well, but you say pretty true sport. Guys were taking stuff back in the day. There's things that are being done today that doctors are miles and miles ahead of. Things that you can take that'll get you amped up and ready to go in all sports that don't get tested. So, yeah, Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle. Had their way. The Suns couldn't shoot straight coming out of the half. And what was the number? What did I have here? 7 of 22 shooting in the third quarter. You're not going to win anything. And what was the other number I had? 16 turnovers. And Minnesota made their free throws. So, but that's one of those franchises you look at and say, okay, as the Suns are currently constructed, would they be able to beat any of those teams? Like, let's just say they can't get this Jimmy Butler deal done. And I'm still way on the fence on that. Like, this owner keeps making moves that are big moves, but I don't know. If Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson were still here, would you feel better about the future of where the Suns are? What exactly has Kevin Durant done to get the Suns further than where they were before? Merchandise sales, notoriety, TV, all business, cha-ching, transaction, transaction, transaction. All I care about is winning. That's it. I don't know if I'd make a great sports owner because I think I would. I think I'd make a terrific sports owner actually because I care about winning. I would not surround myself with fools or family members or, just nonsense. Where everybody's fighting, and it's like, look at the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. I'm a Cowboy fan. We suck. You guys can't do anything right. Even when you hire your next coach, you're just like, what are we doing here? What exactly are we doing here? So I don't know if Matt Ishbia has got patience. I don't. We're already on a third coach in his run. Traded away two cornerstone players, in my opinion. Not superstars yet, one of them in particular. So, and the Arizona Sports Hall of Fame sent out a press release this morning that the inductees this year, it's a nice event that they put on. It is. I've been to it before. Pedro used to host it. Ricky Hunley, Arizona football. Paul Konierko from Scottsdale. It's good. Joe Garagiola Jr. Michael Bidwell. Mike Bibby, I like Julie Ertz going in. Matt Schott, former senior director of amateur hockey development for the Arizona Coyotes. That's a good class. It's well-rounded. And I was surprised Michael Bidwell wasn't already in, but now he will be. Okay, up next, Bob Herrig. We will talk golf with Bob. Today is the opening of Pebble Beach. The WM is coming here next week. Issues in the game, shot clock, no shot clock when you're playing your rounds. Buster Olney on spring training and what the Diamondbacks have done here in the offseason. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as always, when the PGA rolls into the Valley, and actually the LPGA now too in March with their new elevated event, I wanted to have Bob Herrig with us for a few minutes as it's good to see Bob, senior writer, Sports Illustrated. We have visited with Bob through the years. He's written a couple of great books, the latest one on Tiger Woods called Drive. He has one on Phil and Tiger and just knows golf inside and out. I'm bringing you in on a day where Pebble is teeing off and the conversation is about shot clocks. Is the game in trouble? Are we seeing golf fade off in the abyss? So I'm glad that you and I are together today chopping it up. Just take it off the top. What's the state of the union as the PGA comes here next week, Bob?
Yeah, I think it's disarray right now. I mean, there's just a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that aren't resolved, a lot of issues, a lot of things that have people upset. The latest one is the length of some of these rounds, how long it's taking. And look, there's no easy answers on that. A shot clock is really not, it's probably not going to be very practical. It sounds great, but in the NBA, there's a shot clock on either basket or on either rim, right? In football, there's one on either end of the stadium. In baseball, there's one pitch clock. How are you going to do that in golf? I mean, it would require a lot of thought. They'd probably have to have one on every tee. They'd have to have one on every green. They'd have to have one roving in the fairway. Are you going to man one for every single hole and every player? Frankly, they have rules in place that could be applied just like the regular rules of golf are applied. And if they were to just invoke stroke penalties quicker, I think that would get the message across. I mean, there's other things they're doing, like next year the field size there, I believe it the waste management's only going to be 120 next year. The 156 player fields are going to go down to 144, 144 down to 132. That obviously creates more space. When you have so many guys teeing off on Thursday and Friday in two morning and afternoon waves front and back, it's inevitable that there will be a backlog when you make the turn. And so it doesn't do any good to have a shot clock if you're going to make me hit this shot in 30 seconds, and then on the very next shot, I'm going to have to wait. So, because there's too many players on the course. Obviously, I think maybe the biggest issue with all this will not be resolved anytime soon, and is one that's hard too, is the golf ball goes so far, and the technology is so good that these guys have made par fives into par fours. Par fours are driver wedge, driver 9 iron, driver 8 iron. They can manhandle these courses. And so the pushback is, let's make them harder. So they grow the rough. The green speeds are really fast. So instead of tapping in a 2 footer, a guy marks a 2 footer, and that takes time. They want to look at putts. They want to, it's too, everything is too fine for them to not spend some time to look at it. And because, and let's be honest, they put some pins in some funky places. All of this stuff leads to longer rounds. And that's bad for TV. It's bad for the viewing experience. And then, obviously there's a bunch of other issues in the game right now too, that that haven't been figured out.
Okay, you've been covering golf 25 years plus, right? When did you start to notice, and in your mind, we got a problem here? Did you hear from players? And we're talking about pace of play. What Dottie Pepper said last week, I've heard for a while, and now it's just bubbled to the surface because it's a national analyst saying it in the middle of a round. There's YouTube golf that's out there. There's the Tiger League that's out there now. Is it? Out here, there's a lighted par three that's become the place. Rolling Hills is the place for night golf. And so the game is morphing. But in your space, you've seen this for north of 25 years. Is it really that bad? And when did you start to sense that there was a problem?
Well, I think there's always been a problem with slow play, and it just this issue ebbs and flows. It comes up, it goes away. It comes up, it goes away. We don't see it as much in the summer because after they make the cut, it's usually twosomes. It's two balls on the weekend. That's going to move along okay. Like that pace doesn't bother anybody, but still twosomes take 4 hours, sometimes longer. If you and I went and played together in a twosome and there was nobody in front of us, there's no way it would take us 4 hours, but it takes pro golfers 4 hours. Where it's really bad though is when they play in threes. And see, this is the other thing about the field sizes. The last 2 weeks at PGA West and at Torrey Pines, because they're trying to finish for a West Coast, for an East Coast audience on West Coast times, they go off in threesomes off both tees, even on the weekend. So you still have the same issues. You're going to have bottlenecks. Takes longer. So it's just sort of inevitable, really, in the winter time, because threesomes with two tee starts just do not bode well for pace of play. But this has gone on forever. But the thing is probably the argument 20 years ago was, man, these 4.5 hour rounds, that's way too long. Well, now they're 5.5. It just hasn't gotten better. And the tour for 2 decades has been very, very reluctant to give stroke penalties. They have a fine structure that they never disclose who's getting fined how much. But after several, warnings and being put on the clock and these things, these fines creep up, but they don't tell us about it. And it really doesn't hurt them that much. What hurts is a stroke. You know, if it keeps you from missing the cut, a stroke pin can be worth thousands of dollars, $500,000. If they were to do that a couple times, it would get people's attention. And frankly, they have the ability to do it, and they just sort of have a system that allows these guys to game it. When your group gets behind, you're told you're out of position. Then, if you get a bad time, you're warned. Only after that do you have to worry about a stroke penalty. Well, if your group gets back in position, everything's fine and the process starts over again. So what happens when they get out of position? They speed up. They catch up to the group in front. They make sure they're not timed, and then it goes back to the same thing.
I guess I would think that if Scottie Scheffler were on a clock, it's like the Michael Jordan rules in basketball. Well, he's right there at 0.1. But it's Scottie Scheffler. You see the number. I think what you're saying about technology is true. There'd be some fans that would look at it that way, the conspiracy theorists, the grassy knolls. It's like, guys, it's just golf. This is not brain surgery. And so it is a complex issue, but is it the biggest issue in the game as you see? We're looking at golf coming here this week at WM. That was a real mess last year with the amount of people that showed up at Scottsdale at TPC. I don't know if that's going to be addressed properly. They're doing the things that they can out front. What is the biggest issue to you is just sitting here covering the sport right now?
I think it's the divide. It's the division in the game still. This is still lingering over the game. You know, we're not going to see,
Live versus PGA.
we're not going to see Bryson and Brooks play with Rory and Scottie until the Masters, and then not again until the PGA. And while they didn't always play together all the time anyway, you've got one of the most popular players in the world who's just won the US Open, and he's playing in India this week in the international series. And next week, he'll be in Riyadh, and the week after that, in Adelaide. Now, that's great for those places. And that's what LIV has sort of sold itself on, taking itself around the world. Those audiences love those guys coming. But we don't have them competing against the best very often now. And, I think that needs to happen. I don't think it's going to be like 15 times a year, but I think 8 times a year would be nice. And then let the two entities go about their business without fighting. You know, like I think LIV has shown that they've got some resiliency and they want to stick around. All right, well then let's put to tear down the roadblocks. Let's not schedule their events the same TV window as a PGA Tour event, which isn't going to happen next week because Riyadh is a time difference issue. But they are playing at night over there, and they have lights on that course. So they're going to be teeing off like at 10, 15 Eastern time next week on the Thursday of the Waste Management. So like the Waste Management will be on TV in the States at that time. So like if I'm just a golf fan and want to watch them both, I either have to flip back and forth or I have to choose. You know, and later in the year, when they do play in North America, they'll be playing in the same time zone, some of their best tournaments against some of the PGA Tour's best tournaments. You know, so I think if there's a deal and there's an agreement, they work that out. Like the TV windows might be staggered. Or maybe LIV plays some of, because obviously they have more flexibility with less events. Maybe they play some of their events non-signature weeks. You know, when the PGA Tour doesn't have all of his best players. And obviously that allows for some of their guys to possibly play in some PGA Tour events if they're allowed to go back and forth. We're going to see a lot of LIV guys play DP World Tour. That seems to have opened up a little bit. Rom played a bunch in the fall. He just him well, Tyrrell Hatton just won in Dubai, and Rom played in that tournament too. So there have been some cracks, but still, that whole thing needs to get resolved. Fans are tired of hearing about money. The TV product needs to be better. There's so much angst over too much commercial load, of course. I sort of understand the other side of it. The TV rights are so expensive. Golf is an expensive sport to cover. It's a niche sport that doesn't get an NFL or NBA audience. although it does hit their demographic. So how do you recoup your money? You're gonna show commercials, right? So that's a very, very tough thing to balance. Easy for me to say they shouldn't show so many commercials, right? But it's not exactly how it works in business.
Yeah, before I get you out of here, Scotty being pushed, if LIV in the PGA, could we see a dominant like dominance out of Scotty Scheffler? Would it mean more? He's still out there doing his thing back in Tiger's, right in the middle of Tiger's career, and you know Tiger inside and out. He didn't have this competition of not having the best fields around him.
Right.
Scotty's having. What do you make out of that for Scotty and what he's doing right now? Is there going to be a, yeah, but the best were over at Live and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some aspect to that. I think it's a little misguided when he's still, there is a very, very fine line between, say, Xander Schauffele and the 50th ranked player in the world. It's minuscule. Like those guys at 50 are really, really good too. So Scotty's beating those guys. But sure, I mean, the names that we know, DeChambeau, Rahm, Joaquin Niemann to an extent, Cam Smith, Brooks, those guys, Cam Brooks and Rahm and Bryson have all won majors over the last 3 years. To not have those guys in the tournament, sure. It leaves open the door to making us wonder. One of the wild things about Tiger is it's way underappreciated is, yeah, he won the 15 majors, but he also won 18 World Golf Championship events. And the World Golf Championship events don't exist anymore, but they were basically the same as what the signature events are now. They were the top players in the world, frankly, that played in smaller field events. He won 18 of them. So he was, the fields weren't as deep, but he was beating the top players in those events that many times. So, Scheffler, who won four signature events last year, can't say that.
Yeah, that's I think putting a bow around the controversy side. We love the game out here in Arizona. There's over 100 golf courses in Maricopa County alone. Okay, so we take all of the what's going on in the game, and the fandom will be crazy at the WM. The interest we have the Ford Championships now on the LPGA side will get played over at Whirlwind in late March. And we feel like the LPGA with the Ford event is grown to a big number. So the health of the game here in Arizona is good. We have the senior event that's the Tour Champion event down in Tucson. It's looking at it and just saying, okay, are there headwinds out there for the whole sport that we don't see here in Arizona?
No, I think one thing you have to keep in mind is that the game overall is very healthy. Since COVID, more people took it up. There's more people playing. You mentioned earlier the YouTube stuff, TGL with Tiger. There's more ways to consume golf. I do think that we live in a time where people don't have time. There's a patience issue, and that's why, YouTube and paring it down is popular. But this again, now this there's a conflict here. People talk about why don't they show more of the golf, right? Like I heard that in Hawaii, like the Sony Open didn't come on. The leaders were on the fourth or fifth hole. Well, again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is it's expensive. If they're going to show it for another hour or two, they're going to have to pay rights for that, and they're going to have to pay production costs. So the other hand is when you spread out the broadcast, you thin out the numbers. There's a reason that why for years Augusta kept its broadcast tight because you only were going to get it for 4 hours. You didn't want to miss any of it
Commercial
when they're
free.
shipped, virtually.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're, you know what? They're different. They're a different animal in that they don't need the commercial load, Augusta National. Like they don't charge CBS as much of a rights fee for them in turn showing less commercial time. So a regular broadcast doesn't have that advantage. And if you're talk when we talk about the ratings being down, well, if you're spreading out 8 hours of coverage across ESPN Plus, Golf Channel, than CBS or NBC, that's going to dilute it. So part of it has to be accepted. So I think some of that is missed. Now are people not watching because they're upset with the state of the game, they're tired of the money talk, they don't see great fields? Sure, there's some of that too. We really haven't had a great field yet this year until Pebble. A bunch of, Rory and Scheffler didn't play at the Century. Xander's been hurt now. So we've missed some guys. That speaks to the idea of, well, are there too many tournaments? We could talk about this for hours. I've probably got 10 things I could suggest and they're not going to listen to me. So, yeah.
But your passion and a thoughtful conversation, I always appreciate it on the game of golf because I know that Bob Harrig is going to deliver that. His book is Drive with Tiger, about Tiger Woods, and then he has one on Tiger and Phil. You can research it. And of course, find his content over at Sports Illustrated senior writer Bob Harrig. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brad. Appreciate it.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, Buster Olney with us, senior writer, reporter with ESPN, ESPN Baseball Insider. You've seen Buster through the years. All right, I got to get right to it with you as the insider. Cactus League, Grapefruit Circuit, what is Buster Olney's preference?
I think because of all the years that I was in Florida, because I covered the Orioles, I covered the Yankees, I covered the Mets. I actually probably like the only writer who likes Florida better than Arizona. To go to the different cities, go to the different areas. It definitely is a lot more complicated. Driving up and down I-75, going up and down I-95. Arizona's more simple. There's no question about it. It's easier to get around, but I think I spent so much time in the Tampa area that I kind of like being there.
Sure. And the history and tradition, right? I mean, everything was in Florida at one time when you
Right.
first got into it, right? I mean, it's been there a while.
Yeah, it's been there a while, and this year will be especially interesting, knowing that the Rays are going to be playing in George Steinbrenner Field.
What are the angles you're looking at? We'll get it in specific Cactus League, but just baseball overall here in spring training, Buster.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, the Dodgers, right? The evil empire. How are they looking as they come together? Who are the teams most likely to beat them? How mo for me, I'm really curious about how motivated the Dodgers are going into the year. What's going to be driving them? Because at some point, Dave Roberts, who grew up as a Lakers fan, is going to be start to make, back to back a thing with his players. Hey, let's do this. And become the first team to do this since those teams with the Yankees in the late 90s. I'm curious about Juan Soto, what that looks like in the Mets lineup. The Yankees, certainly after winning the American League Championship Series last year, a lot of pressure on them going into this year, without Soto. How are they going to reform? And the National League Central really interests me because it's like, if you talk about land of opportunity, that to me would be the primary division for that.
In what way?
Just the fact that the Brewers, they're the best team that are defending champions. They lost their best hitter, Willy Adames, and they lost their best pitcher, Devin Williams. And so if you are the Chicago Cubs, if you're the Cincinnati Reds, who I think are the most improved team of this winter, if you want to take the Dodgers out of the equation with all the money they spent on stars, I think those teams have a chance to win the division this year. If you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, you can dream a little bit in a way that if you were in the American League East, you're in the National League West for sure, you wouldn't even entertain those thoughts. So the National League Central with Terry Francona taking over the Reds, very interesting division to me.
Buster Olney with us for a few minutes from ESPN. All right, specifically Cactus League. When you are here, favorite ballpark? Do you have one?
I think. And again, you go back to what you know, the ballpark in Peoria for me, because I was covering the Padres when they moved into that facility. So I can still see in my mind's eye Tony Gwynn, working out there and being excited about having that possibility. The ballpark that the Dodgers play and they share with the White Sox, that's an amazing park. The Diamondbacks ballpark is excellent. I kind of wonder if you were to just do a random draw or random, you bring baseball fans in and not tell them who plays in the ballpark, if the Diamondbacks park in the end would be the favorite one of fans around the sport.
That's good. It's good to put that. Focusing in on teams here in the Cactus League and a storyline or two. You mentioned Cincinnati, and I would agree with you, and there's star power there too. Fans coming out from Cincinnati going to Goodyear. What's the spring training angle for you that they should be looking at?
Well, with Tito taking over the team, I'm curious if they're more efficient in 25 than they were in 24. They last year, as you know, they went 15-29 in one-run games. That was the worst record in the big leagues. And so even if they, you know, merely play 500 in one-run games, then they're going to be a dramatically improved team. They've been aggressive during the course of the wintertime in terms of making additions. And then you add a Francona, who has demonstrated time and again in his career that he makes teams better. And you have an Ellie De La Cruz as one of baseball superstars. You know, Terry told me a great story about how earlier this winter, after he was named the manager of the Reds, got on a plane, went down to the Dominican Republic. Ellie came over to his hotel and he asked him, what do you want to accomplish in this game? And Ellie's response was, I want to be the best player in the game. And Tito said, okay, that's great, but how about we adjust this? How about you want to be the best player in the game for the best team? And, you know, I've seen Terry have that sort of effect on players. And so I'm really curious as to what comes out of Cincinnati, a small market team that's trying to win this year.
Thumbnail on Cleveland.
For me, the Guardians will be difficult to overtake within that division unless Detroit, you know, adds more as we go along here in spring training. Maybe they're the team that gets Alex Bregman, because Cleveland could have again is dominant bullpen. It really is kind of amazing that they accomplished all that they did last year, despite the fact that the rotation was so beat up. You would assume at some point Shane Bieber is going to rejoin that group during the course of the year. And in front of that bullpen, it's an excellent team. I actually like a lot of what they did this winter.
Couple others, I'll get you out of here. Angels.
So I know they're trying to win, right? And yeah, one of the big selling points for Perry Manassian is, look, come and play for Ron Washington, you know, a manager who players really enjoy. They were, interestingly, one of the most aggressive teams at the outset of the offseason in terms of improving the roster. And I'm really curious about Mike Trout. You know, it feels like he's at a crossroad. Is he going to get back to being a dominant player, or will injuries continue to define, you know, his 30s? Which has been a problem, you know, since he hit his 30th birthday.
I feel like that's been a storyline like the last couple of years, but now more than ever, Buster. It's just time. Buster, only with us for a few minutes before I get you out of here. Then the Diamondbacks in the local town, the hometown team, on the field, big addition at the front end of the rotation. Off the field, what's going to happen with the stadium and Ken Kendrick? What's your view of everything, top to bottom, Arizona?
So first and foremost, I love what I see as a transformation of Ken Kendrick, right? You know, there were for years a lot of stories, you know, how he was demanding and he might be difficult to work with. But his press conference last year when Jordan Montgomery was struggling, or not press conference, he did that radio interview in which he basically said, you know what, that's my fault. That's on me. I can't remember last time that I heard an owner take responsibility in that way. That to me was really impressive. And the fact that even though they're playing in the same division as the Dodgers, there still is clearly a hope there after, you know, reaching the World Series in 2023 to get back to the mountaintop. And maybe Corbin Burnes is that difference maker. We know they have great young position players. We know that Corbin Carroll is going to be better than he was last year. You know, he's not going to have a full down season the way that he did. I don't think that any team in the West is going to overtake the Dodgers. But I do think, again, the Diamondbacks will be a problem for L.A. once we get in October.
If Jordan Montgomery does anything out here, or do you expect Jordan Montgomery to not be here by opening day?
I don't expect him to be with the team because, let's face it, if you're the Diamondbacks, your best chance to rebuild his trade value is to put him in the rotation. Well, the way he performed last year, you wouldn't necessarily bet on that. Now, that all said, maybe he shows up in a camp and he's in incredible condition and his mindset seems to be focused with a full spring training ahead, and you give him the ball and you give him the opportunity, at the very least, give a chance to see other for other teams to see the improvements that he made during the course of the winter. That seems to me the most prudent task, because what I'm hearing from other teams is if the Diamondbacks are going to trade him, they're going to have to eat a whole lot of money. Yeah. If it's a good spring training, maybe that amount goes down as we go.
Did Kendrick hurt himself by making those comments with the Montgomery camp? I don't think he did. Some fans are like, why would the owner do that? I'm on your side of the street.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, yeah, it's unusual. And, you know, and I don't know Jordan that well, but I do know that a lot of players in this era would not respond positively to that. What he did was basically tell the truth. Right. And I think there's something to that. And I, again, you know, in a time when you hope that everyone has accountability, Ken Kendrick is the one taking accountability, saying, look, I messed up. Jordan Montgomery did not pitch well for us. And so I'm really curious what Jordan's response is to all this. And we won't really know until he gets on the mound, because it did feel like he was totally disheartened by the end of last year.
Yeah. One of the biggest questions, I think, coming in here to camp. I appreciate your time and insights, Buster. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.